Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sporting contest, bit of story, bit of drama, and then just off the deep end. Here we go. We're in an Ed Wood movie. Let's do it.
Like that. It's showtime, folks.
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg. He's ready.
Oh, hell yeah!
It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
The Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review, which we now know surprises people when they get in their cars.
Yes, we do. We do.
Thank you for reaching out.
Congratulations to car listeners. You have been recognised.
Yes. This is where we get together to talk about every single episode of Monday Nitro from the very beginning to its oh so bitter end. Hoopie wee I be, fake Geordie, radio presenter with that portfolio, Tom Gamble, and I am with WCW kid Sam Driver.
Hello.
Now from Santa Cruz, if you're watching
on
the Patreon.
Santa Cruz, if you would sponsor me, I would be a very happy boy.
I'm just thinking of the song, Oh Santa Cruz. You know you're not that far.
They're just like the softest, nicest shirts, and they're like a cool brand, and you know, they're just awesome.
Nice.
I love everything about them. Hit me up. It's the best gear to edit in, I'll tell you that much.
And Greg's the Baker's is a great food to eat while editing.
It's the only food.
I remember.
Hit me up, Greg's. We're both from Northumberland, buddy. Come on, Mr. Greg's.
Years ago, I got sent regular stuff from Greg's when I worked for
that radio station up
north.
Very, very lucky man.
I know, but then as soon as I got the old 910
They revoked the black card.
Oh, no, I didn't get a black card. I get gift cards around Christmas time. Nothing since I left.
Black card would be the dream. Mm. Just walk into Ernie Greg's and be like, I'll have your entire tray of sausage rolls, please.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they're looking at you like, who are you? And you just bust out the black card.
Bust out the black card. No,
I hope it's got a little button on it where you press it and it goes like, oh!
That'd be a dream.
It'd be awesome.
They sent me Christmas socks and a Christmas jumper.
Oh, you got proper merchandise.
Oh,
I've always wanted some of the Greg's Christmas stuff, but by the time, you know, because it always comes out on a weekday, I walk past it on a morning, but the queue is so big in the one in the middle of town that it's like, it's up past Smith's sometimes. It's just like, nah, it's going to take forever to get queued up.
I'll bring you my Greg's Christmas jumper in.
Oh my days. I'm such a lucky boy.
But they never sent me anything after I left. Yeah, so just saying, Fiona Mills, I'm not dead.
All I'm saying is
CEO of Greg's.
Is Peter's the Baker still
Twitter.
Exist? Peter's the Baker's might still exist. Peter's. Tom could take his business elsewhere. Yes.
Are all the Bakers just named after people? Hello to Cliff the Baker's.
I know when we were younger and we go skating, I don't think Hexham had a Greg's. Or it didn't have one on the high street, but we had Greg's and Hexham had Peter's. And it was like, you posh devils.
Was it Peter's with two R's?
No, no, unfortunately not. Could you imagine? They just had a colour logo.
My favourite Greg story is one very much based in the Northeast. We'll get to WCW in a bit, I promise.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's stuck in 1995.
It's fine. My favourite Greg story is a few years... You know, in the Northeast, there is a tradition around Christmas time, which is the Fennec Christmas window.
Yes.
where the Fennec Megastore will have...
So, yeah, for anybody that doesn't know, like, if you've ever heard of, like, Selfridges, or it's kind of like a big old classic department store like that. That's what Fennec is.
JCPenney.
And Fennec's window's famous, and, you know, you'd hear dads, you know, throughout the entire night, if Newcastle win this season, I'll show me arse in Fennec's window. And, you know, it's the place with the biggest footfall. It's the biggest window on the biggest shopping street in town.
So every Christmas, they do, like, a special diorama in the window.
Yeah.
And they do a big unveiling
and
of the Fennec window.
It's like a big
window.
Christmas-themed thing. And it'll be, like, a licensed thing. I mean, what? I mean, shit.
Shaun the Sheep.
One year in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had, like, an alien, like a blow-up alien in a Newcastle shirt. That was quite the Christmas window. But yeah, this year it's Shaun the Sheep.
I think we've had
Quentin Blake. We've had a few.
Frog of the Toad last year. Mr. Frog from Wind of the Willows.
Wind of the Willows last year, yeah.
But the reason I mention it is because Greggs did a massively wonderful marketing trick. So what they did is on the day of the unveiling of the window, they changed their signage because there's a Greggs opposite Fennec on Northumberland Street. And they changed their signage so it was the wrong way round.
Yeah, they just flipped the sign round, didn't they?
So all the people taking pictures of the Fennec window got the reflection of the Greggs logo the right way around. That's amazing!
It's genius, but they've not done it since, which means that I think they might have got a little bit of slap on the wrist for it.
Yes, I think they probably got wrong.
Because it went viral, I remember, and everybody was... It was like, oh, Greggs, and nobody was talking about Fennec Winder.
If ever there was a reason behind the phrase, it's always better to seek forgiveness than ask permission.
Yeah, well, this is it. It's timeless. The one thing I was confused about was this Christmas, well, this year, like, there was this huge, like, what looked like an asteroid had crashed into the bottom of Northumberland Street. And it looked like it had smashed through a load of lights, and it was like, coming soon.
That was the John Lewis one.
Yeah, it was like, ooh, what's going on? What's happening? And then the day arrived, that it said on the little plaque on, it was just gone. And it was like, what?
John Lewis did a thing where aliens turned up for Christmas.
Walked past it like, what?
Livid. They brought the Omicron variant with them and everything. I'm furious.
Yeah.
But so we're not here to talk about...
Fucking love.
I like that Futurama is now part of Christmas. WCW Monday Nitro from 1995. This is the episode that we've watched this week. I knew this episode was nearby.
Yes.
And then it happened.
It's a hot mess. This is Nitro 8. This is a go-home, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, man. So it's a go-home episode, so you know all the standard tropes that you know now existed back then and were a lot fresher back then. But, you know, it follows that kind of formula at points, and then at other points it just goes, tag match, yeah. Yeah.
But there is one particular iconic moment that occurs in this episode of Nitro, which we're going to get to.
And what a moment it is. Defines an era.
In the real world, this particular week in the wrestling, Get Shorty, number one in the US box office.
Nice.
Number one in the UK box office, Mortal Kombat! Mortal Kombat Mania running wild again, brother.
Yeah.
Is it Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, it'll be Mortal Kombat 1 this, so yes. Annihilation comes afterwards.
Annihilation's something special.
Yeah, I mean, Mortal Kombat, it's Paul W.S. Anderson, right? Guy did the Resident Evil films. He is a Geordie. We have to be nice about him. Shit films, very watchable and fun, though. Very watchable and fun. Like Resident Evil... Why didn't you just follow the games? Doesn't matter. My wife's bringing home all the money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just it's well worth a watch. It's kind of up there. I wouldn't even put it near Street Fighter. Street Fighter is like another class of amazing, cheesy throwback film.
Oh, God.
But like Mortal Kombat is worth a watch. If only out of curiosity to see how far Mortal Kombat's come as a franchise.
It was part of like this multi-strand licensing deal with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It was so big. You had the games, you had the movie, you had the TV series, you had the cartoon.
The animated series was fantastic.
That's where they all
up. They really fleshed out the Outworld and all these stories and established Mortal Kombat's lore a bit better than just the scrolling text.
Yes.
Because that's all you'd get at the stage. It's the 15th year of the Mortal Kombat competition and the Outworld needs help from... And it's, you know, you just read and all that. And you're like, yes, I just want to play Scorpion.
I just want to cut a man's head off. Stop giving me lore.
Tapping A. Come on.
Mariah Carey's Fantasy was number one in the Billboard charts.
Lovely.
Simply Red had Fairground number one. Love Before Coming Home to You.
Banging song.
It is a banger, isn't it?
It's not a Simply Red guy, but Fairgrounds. Yeah.
Beautiful. Def Leppard entered the Guinness World Records this week.
Really? What for?
Performing three shows in three continents on the same day.
Nice.
They did Tangier, Morocco, and London, and followed by Vancouver in Canada.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, like, Def Leppard are another one kind of... I've seen them live a couple of times. They're always pretty good. Like, I think the first time I saw them, they were a little bit ropey, but they've got better since. But I've never actively paid to see them. They've always, like, been on a bill I've gone to, and they've always been like, solid.
Did you see them when they were in Newcastle about 4 years ago?
Was that when they were with Whitesnake?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, because Whitesnake blew them off the stage.
We were at that gig. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, I go with my dad to see classic rock shows.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was...
I think we're trying to get tickets for, is it like Styx, UFO, and like there's something big, like Foreigner or something.
Just chucking them all together.
It's like 60 quid, but it's like four bands on one bill. And it's like, yeah, you know, it'll start at like 5:30, get nicely drunk for a few hours.
That's nice. Yeah. That's a good night, that.
Yeah.
In my
hour of bangers per band.
That's
great.
That's brilliant. That's all you need. That's a great night for 60 quid.
Yeah, and
brilliant.
It's indoors, no rain.
I was at that gig.
Captive beer prices.
They get you, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't going to be there. But what happened was, in my old job, there used to be a special box which the company owned to, like, woo customers with.
Yeah.
So you would get a gig sometimes hosting the box.
Yes.
Which would mean you go and watch a gig and you make sure that the customers, the clients, were drunk and
everybody's happy,
spending money. And, and I went to a few of them. I went to... There were some people I wanted to go see. They said... I remember them saying to everyone in the radio station, now, does anybody... We know the answer to this, but does anybody want to host the box for WWE next week? Go on, then.
Go on, I'll do it.
But
Jesus.
They asked for somebody to Def Leppard and Whitesnake. So, and I got to take Alex with me.
Nice.
So we were in that same show.
I remember, like, when... Def Leppard were good, but... Yeah, Whitesnake just walked out.
Incredible.
I think it was like a couple of songs and then boom, Still of the Night. And it was like, yeah, you win. You win. You win.
In the wrestling world, so last week's Nitro and Raw ratings are in.
Yep.
Raw 2.6. Mm-hmm. Nitro 2.2.
Fuck it. What's the point? I'm sat here. #FireEric Bischoff. Well, yeah, get rid of him. What's he... Can't even get ratings. This is your official warning, Eric. You got 1 year to turn this round. 1 year.
WCW is planning its first two-hour Nitro taping in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes.
Which is a funny location. It's doing combined shows with New Japan next week, so therefore they're going to tape a Nitro for the very first time. Because they always pride them on being live, but they've scheduled themselves into a corner. The main event of the first hour is going to be an interactive match. So they're bringing that gimmick out of the mothballs, says Dave Meltzer. An interactive match. I presume whether it's like a fans...
The referee... Clothesline!
Yeah.
Here with a clothesline! It's
what
like
move
Twitch,
shall I do
Twitch
next?
Plays Pokemon. They've all got like a button with different moves on it. There's just a light at ringside. A choke slam. Shit, just fucking come here.
Oh, if only. Like the video games, like WWE Champions, where you do Candy Crush, make them do the moves. So the reason they're doing this two-hour taping is because they're doing a show at Tokyo Sumo Hall.
Nice.
So I thought this would be right up your wheelbarrow, cul-de-sac. So we're going to see Sting defending the US title against Kazuki Sasaki.
Yes.
That'd be a nice one. Ric Flair versus Osamu Nishimura.
Okay.
Hiroshi Tenzan versus Kurosawa.
Oh, I fucking love me some Tenzan.
Steve Regal, Keiji Muto. That'll be a lovely time.
Oh my God, yes.
We have Riki Chosu and Masa Saito versus the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, I can see that.
That'll be
a
thing.
I can see that.
Hiro Saito and Masa Chono versus Johnny B. Badd and Bobby Eaton.
Yep.
And Jushin Liger versus Alex Wright.
All about that.
All right. Yeah. Isn't it? What's nice is I think this is probably the first time that you and I have sat in a room together since the real-time, real-world announcement of New Japan versus Noah.
Yes.
And it's good to see you finally off the wall.
Yeah, so I'm all about this stuff. It's worked in the past and it hasn't worked in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason I think this one might be a bit of a special show is because they've announced that this is kind of part of New Japan's 50th anniversary celebrations. There's going to be, you know, potentially more shows like this they've teased over the course of the year for their 50th birthday. So that'd be quite interesting to see. But at the same time, like, I've been trying to actually get back, like, and watch Noah from the last maybe 6 to 8 months to try and catch up. So I got Wrestle Universe, which is fantastic as an app. Like, it's free, I think, until January, but it's only like £5.30 a month or something otherwise. But you get four promotions. You get DDT, Noah, Gambare, and Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. And Noah has some English language events. The only problem is Noah's events are called very sportingly. There's not really a lot of
there's not really a lot of
storyline that goes into the matches, so you've got to kind of read between the lines, and you've got to kind of, I mean the storyline in there, but there's not a lot of storyline that goes into the commentary of the matches is what I mean. You might get like a little bit of, oh yeah, and of course they challenged them back then at this event, and you don't really get a lot of like bump with it,
right.
But I'm trying to sort of get back on top of storyline so that I can be like sat there in January with Jack going, right, here's what's happening.
We know why this is important, yeah, because of this reason.
Yeah.
Was it you as well? I've seen a few of people say it as well, that a great idea for New Japan, what with the world still being a little bit uncertain. Like, they were,
yeah,
like, Wrestle Kingdom was somewhat threatened for a couple of days with the announcement of another lockdown in Japan. Could we see New Japan doing more stuff with other Japanese promotions? Is this like a forbidden door in itself?
I think it's not so much a forbidden door in the sense that it's never happened. Like, it's happened before, and it's happened a lot in the world of Japanese wrestling that companies will kind of just buddy up for a little bit. But Noah and New Japan have a bit of a special relationship. Mm. Noah went through some hard times after New Japan went through some hard times, and New Japan were kind of they would, at certain pay-per-views, they would have Noah exhibition matches in order for Noah matches to kind of get seen by a larger audience, and so I think this is more like a friendly start to it,
right.
But I think we may see maybe more Japanese promotions than we'd, you know, it's, I'd love it, but I don't think we're gonna see, like, you know, WWE versus New Japan. Anything, we'll get an AEW versus New Japan to close out the year or something, maybe.
Yeah,
but like,
I could see that being a thing.
It's something where, like, I don't know. I think only time will tell, but it'll be interesting to see.
Interesting times. But we'll see. We'll be able to talk a little bit more about WCW and New Japan's relationship, mm-hmm, as the months go on.
Ooh.
So let's get into Nitro for this week. Bischoff opens the show telling us. He doesn't literally open us. That'd be weird. why is instinctively just this my hand?
Crack, yeah, just the right at the ribs. Not even at an orifice. Just
crack them wide open, pal. Bischoff opens telling us we are T-minus 6 days from Halloween Havoc because we're in the shadow of the Nassau Space Center for this week. So it's a space reference. Exactly. And we start hot. Macho Man Randy Savage taking on Kurosawa, who has got the jobber's entrance. He's already in the ring.
Yes, but he comes out and he proceeds to just butcher Randy Savage's arm.
He bloody does.
And Savage is really on the back foot throughout a lot of this match. You've got kind of Savage really, really, really selling here. And he's consistently targeting the arm, and it just makes him look like so much more of a threat.
Pretty much, it's all Kurosawa.
It's all
from
Kurosawa.
The off. The Savage gets nothing in. He knocks a cigar out of Colonel Robert Parker's mouth at the start.
Yes.
That's about all he gets. And then Kurosawa just clatters him. They're putting Kurosawa over on commentary as the guy that broke Road Warrior Hawk's arm.
So they're really trying to establish him as a dominant rising star.
Mm.
But, you know, I think you can guess where it ends with this relationship. But it doesn't quite go to the point, you know, where he's like a world champion and he's defending. You know, he's there to do a job, and that job is to destroy Randy Savage's arm, and then it just brings into question Randy and his, you know, oh, is he still able to do it? I've never seen him look this hurt before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's...
They ramp that up on comms, don't they? Just saying, well, we've never seen Savage take a shoe in like this.
Yeah, and if it comes at the expense of, you know, making Kurosawa look stronger, then all for it.
Do you feel the finish took away some of that allure of Kurosawa?
What was it again?
So what happened is, so Savage manages to avoid a baseball slide and a roundhouse kick. Back in the ring.
Yeah, because he's just throwing back roundhouse kicks.
That's it. But it's basically Savage dodges one on the post. So Kurosawa kicks the post. He gets back in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Then Savage runs. Savage throws him towards the ropes, and his throat hits the rope. Then Savage follows up with a clothesline to the back of the head. and then an elbow drop for the three.
Yeah, kind
but of. I think Kurosawa kind of kicks out at 3.5.
Yeah, like
save
I
face.
I think having had him go on such a violent tirade against Randy, you know, throughout the majority of the match, he still looks a bit foolish in that ending because you should expect it. It's Macho Man, but at the same time, it's Macho Man, right? Like yeah. he's able to tap into that, you know, secret 80s power. And you know, fight right back up and like nothing's wrong.
I like the idea of secret 80s power.
There's an extra letter in secret 80s power. well, power in particular. There's just a D that goes in there somewhere.
If only we knew where that D went in power. As Savage celebrates a hard-fought win, Mongo, Bischoff and Heenan are telling
Heenan.
Us that...
Heenan! I am Heenan 9000.
He could have
hear
put a robot
me commentate.
In. Tell you what, Gorilla. Heenan tells us that Hogan and the Dungeon of Doom are in the building, and as they are pontificating on whether Sting can trust Lex Luger...
Boom!
Lights go out, and wrestling greatness begins!
Just you hold on. So what happens is, let me just get out the transcript.
This is amazing!
As best I could make it out. So King Curtis appears. King Curtis Iaukea. He was once a pioneering star. Like he's a
former WWF World Tag Champion with Baron Mikel and a former NWA Hawaii Champion, two-time NWA Florida Champion.
But he wound up being Sullivan's manager in the territories. I think he kind of headed up this kind of weird satanic family thing as King Curtis.
Yes, he did.
And then he becomes the master of the Dungeon of Doom. I think that's what he's called anyway. It's like
the master
is what he's referred to as here. But he's just all kind of old and painted up and he's in this throne and he's above everybody and he can't say anything without screaming it and he's like, Sullivan, my son, the insurance package has been delivered from north of Kathmandu, from the Himalayas and the north face of Mount Everest. The Sherpa guides have dug out a 13 ton of ice. Just a 13 ton of ice. Sullivan, in the Chicago, where you clipped the whiskers of the rare white Bengal tiger, he wanders now. He has not surrendered his colors. He wanders in darkness. You see, my son, the eyes of the demon will come calling on Hulk Hogan at Halloween Havoc. And then the camera pans down and we see a 13-ton block of ice, which is actually just some tent poles, a tarp, and a bit of plastic. Inside, you see the form figure of the outline of a human. Like, you know, the man sign on the toilet door? It's like that. But, like, if the front's purple and see-through, it's kind of like a darker purple and it's full of fog.
I adore the twaddle that the master, grandmaster comes out with.
It's just so... the rare white Bengal tiger.
It just lays... It's like, you know, it's... And it still juxtaposes with everything on Nitro, where we've just had, like, a serious wrestling match where Macho Man's having his arm worked over to the insurance package from Kathmandu. I went up with the Sherpas and got this block of ice. What?
Where did this come from? It's fucking batshit.
It's just
sat there. You have this kind of serious, okay, right, yeah. As you said, like sporting contest, bit of story, bit of drama, and then just off the deep end. Here we go. We're in an Ed Wood movie. Let's
just
do it.
Like that. So a little bit more back on the master, obviously King Curtis Iaukea, as you say, a great grandson of Colonel Curtis Iaukea. He was a diplomat to the monarch of Hawaii in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. He went into the football world. He played for British Columbia for the BC Lions. So he's had experience with Tigers and Lions.
Nice.
He was part of the Montreal Alouettes. He learned to wrestle with Don Owens, Pacific Northwest, NWA. Did some great things in wrestling from there. Feuded with Tiger Jeet Singh, feuded with Skull Murphy. He became a manager, as you say, in the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
One of his first clients being Kevin Sullivan. He also managed Sika and Kamala. His son, Rocky Iaukea, worked the same territories around the same time. Now, he's not to be confused with Prince Iaukea, who is no relation to King Curtis Iaukea. But Kevin Sullivan loved Mike Lowy Hayner so much.
I've just realised we've got so much Prince Iaukea to come.
The original Velveteen Dream, but without the weirdness that followed the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
But Kevin Sullivan loved the work of Mike Lowy Hayner so much that he gave him the Iaukea name.
Nice.
Agreed by King Curtis as well. So it's a gift from
Get that kind of stamp of approval with the familial name.
You may use this family name and become a prince parody. That was exactly what they hoped for. But so we have this block of ice now. And as you say, it's just like, it looks like a child's Christmas panto play version of Frozen.
This is it. You see it and it does just look like tent poles and a bit of tarp and a bit of plastic. Mm. But then you see it later on and it's actually like a proper sculpted weird block of ice type thing, but it's made of plastic. But after the master kind of says his bit, Sullivan kind of clarifies it a bit.
I liked the zoom.
Yeah.
They zoomed out. The zoom was nice. And then
it revealed Sullivan and it revealed the giant.
And Oakland
between them. And then the giant gets on the mic, of course, and, you know, the man becomes the monster becomes the man, and all this stuff. And Hogan, I'm going to be the immortal one. And the shit we've been hearing for 6 weeks now. And let's be honest, like, we've been doing this, 7 weeks? This is the 8th week. It's probably been going on a long time before this, too. Oh. So...
It is the most.
And then, it's like within a matter of seconds, we go to an ad break, come back, and Hogan's out, and Hogan's, like, name-dropping the Yeti.
So we go to an ad break after Giant and Taskmaster have, you know...
Clarified everything.
Hulk Hogan comes out, introduced as the Star of Thunder in Paradise.
Yes, of course.
Hulk Hogan. Now,
he's not known for much else, you know.
No, just the Star of Thunder in Paradise.
It's like, you know, you wouldn't say Dwayne Johnson, WWE wrestler. You'd say Dwayne Johnson, Hollywood film star. That's what Hulk Hogan was, the original.
The Rock's
just a pale imitation. a completely pale imitation. He couldn't be Thunder in Paradise.
Do you remember that time The Rock appeared on Raw and went, "Hey, it's DJ here." And we all went, "Fuck you."
You know what your name is when you're here.
And then he leaned into it when he came in back in 03 and went, "Fuck yeah." So Thunder in Paradise premiered the year before this. It's been replayed constantly on TNT. It's syndicated.
It's syndicated, but it's not that great.
There's been several straight to VHS movies this year.
Yes.
And did you know this? Thunder in Paradise, the game, came out for Philips CDI.
What? See, I want a CDI. I want a CDI really badly. I want a 3DO.
You'll get one really badly.
There's so many bad old consoles that have so many bad old games on them. And it's just, imagine.
This particular one.
If anybody out there has got any old ass weird consoles... Send them this way.
Jump were reviewing the Evercade Versus.
Yeah, Peter was saying like I might check it out on stream at some point. They're really cool looking. But James was showing me like they have the Bitmap Brothers collection and everything, and I was just like, it's Speedball Brutal Deluxe. That's why I spent years playing that game as a kid. It's the best.
Sure I saw you playing Earthworm Jim on there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
There's loads. It seems like a really cool console.
I like it a lot. I like the look of it. But this Thunder in Paradise game came out for the Philips CDI. There's an episode of Thunder in Paradise called The Major and the Minor, in which it's a kid who's playing...
It does not sound promising at this point.
It sounds sus, admittedly. Yeah. But it's basically a kid that manages to help Hulk Hogan and his friends solve a crime using the power of video game headsets. So basically, you play out this... episode, but the bits where the kid is playing the game are actual bits that you play in the game, which includes a bit where you're on the lake shooting boats.
You're in a massive firefight and it goes, "Please change to disc 3. And it cuts back to this little kid in his bedroom and you've got to go drag him over, point click, and he goes and gets the disc and puts it in.
Made Time Crisis, but in the dark. And... That's kind of what you've got.
Turn the monitor off. We don't need any of this. We're developers, damn it.
It's panned, but hilarious. There is some footage of it. So there is a bit where you're playing the level and the music is about 8 seconds long.
And it just loops.
And it loops, but it's on a CD. So it's like it's special.
There's nothing worse.
People paid money for it.
Oh yeah, Christ! I think back to all the games I used to have. You'd pay out the arse for a Master System game, and it was just Afterburner 7.
But How much did you pay for Afterburner 7?
It wasn't even as good as an Afterburner. It would be like a rip-off Afterburner with Jet Fighter. Mm. And it would be like 10 of the same levels. And it would just be like a Submarine Attack. And it's like, oh man, why couldn't everything just be as good as the Asterix games or Alex Kidd?
Asterix for the Master System.
Asterix for the Master System. The first one is excellent. The Great Rescue is one of my favorite games I had as a kid, straight up. Master System Sonic 1, bless it, with no loops.
They tried. They really tried.
They did. It's a good game. It's just not the Sonic you used to.
There's a guy, and I'll send you the link to it. He has remastered the Master System Sonic games.
Yeah.
And included spin dashes, loop the loops, multiple characters.
Nice.
It's incredible.
Nice.
It's incredible. And then he's done Sonic 2, and
Sonic
he's made a Sonic 3.
For Master System, I properly loved. I loved that game. Mm. Thought it was class.
It's amazing. I'll send you the link in a bit. And it's free to download as well. But obviously, donate.
Don't tell Sega.
Deleted after 24 hours. So Hulk Hogan's in the ring, the star of Thunder in Paradise, out now for Philips CDI and MS-DOS. He said Hogan isn't going to lick his wounds in the Motor City. He's going to drag Paul White around on his Harley until he's dust.
Mm-hmm.
He then gives out at Sting and Macho Man for hovering around the bones ready to pick his carcass. Because last week they were going, I want to be champion.
He's admitted to being a carcass.
He is a carcass. He's livid with them. He tells the little dogs to get on the porch for the big dog, the bad guy, to beat them one at a time. He calls himself both Razor Ramon and Roman Reigns.
I know. How dare he use Roman Reigns as...
All these years ahead... He was the original big dog, Hulk Hogan. The use of the bad guy, I think, is deliberate.
Oh, for sure.
He's watching Raw every week, sad.
Of course he is. It's just hand on the window. He's got that Joey fake window with the rain. It's just hand on it. Just looking in. Vince.
Don't want to be here anyway, brother.
Vince.
Next on Saturday.
I'll take 91% of merch, Vince, I promise. Doesn't need to be 95. Just Vince.
He's been so cutting about WWF every week. I don't think there was a comment thrown at WWF this week, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was one on Saturday night
right, where
he's set to be in attendance.
Yes.
Along with the American Males facing Harlem Heat and Lex Luger facing the Shark. Sadly, we won't be covering that particular John Tenta
match.
No,
but we see a little bit of John Tenta in tonight's episode anyway.
We certainly do in mere moments because we have ourselves a radical tag team match. Do you see what I did there?
Oh, yes, I did.
Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko teaming up to face Eddie Guerrero and Alex Wright. No.
Oh, no, he couldn't be cleared. His knee's doing a hurty.
His knee did a well hurty.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be Eddie Guerrero teaming with Mr. JL.
Who, as we know, is John Layfield.
Yes.
Before he was Bradshaw.
Please spread that rumor far
Everybody
and wide.
Says that it was the big guy with the mustache. No, they just gave him cosmetic surgery and lifts. He's actually 6 foot flat. That's it. I mean, he's still it's pretty bang on, 6 foot tall, but yeah. Mm-hmm. John Layfield, who'd have thought?
He looks great, doesn't he? He looks great. What a tag match that he's in here. This is unsurprisingly, a great tag match.
No, I mean, you've got Jerry Lynn, you've got Chris Benoit, you've got Eddie Guerrero, you've got Dean Malenko, you've got Freedom, and you've got Alex Wright on the outside for his little bit that he needs to do. But it's just back and forth. It's beautiful. The crowd are into it. It's fresh. It's a breath of fresh air after all of the hulk we have had hokeying up the show so far.
Hulk Hogan, if you will.
Yes.
But again, they don't trust these lads.
No.
To hold the attention of the home audience. Because I feel like every time we have matches with like Benoit, Guerrero or Malenko,
yep,
they are referencing bollocks elsewhere.
Yeah, just like in this match, when it's starting to get heated, and I believe for the first time on Nitro that I've seen anyway, somebody comes in flying at Benoit with a drop kick, and he just bats it away. And it's like, whoa, okay. And then, yeah, we go to a developing situation backstage. Oh my God, there's a fight breaking out backstage. Oh, we need to get there. And then we got a picture-in-picture. And what do we see, Tom?
We see Scott Norton kicking off at the Shark, John Tenta.
And they're just literally just shoving each other. And that's it. You can't really make out what they're saying. And they're being pulled apart. And it's all like, oh! And then he just cuts back to the match.
This is apparently due to Shark inadvertently costing Scott Norton a match last month. They've only just remembered.
Thumbs up.
Well done, everybody. Are you not...
Who said the long-term storytelling doesn't pay off?
Are you not... Although it interrupts a great tag match, I would have thought Sam Driver would be buzzing.
Oh, yeah, John Tenta.
New Japan, Scott Norton versus John Tenta.
Yeah.
Beefy boys battering each other.
Beefy slaps with the beefy lads.
Beefy. That's what they call the match next week. I think it's next week. They don't really say. They just say they're fighting backstage. Now, I was under the impression, because as I was watching this, I looked up. I thought Scott Norton, in amongst all that, I thought I saw Fit Finlay.
Right.
But then when I read The Observer, I realised how wrong I was. Because at this point, Fit Finlay, whilst he isn't in, mm-hmm. they are considering bringing him in.
Right.
Because he's doing stuff for Catch in Austria, and they really like what he does.
Right.
No Finlay yet, but I thought it was Finlay.
But he's still off. He's still off with Otto Vance.
He's doing stuff with Otto and living the dream on the European scene.
Yeah.
Is old Dave Finlay. Anyway, we cut back to the tag match. Fun one for belters. Intersped with references to a potential cruiserweight tournament mm-hmm. coming to WCW very soon. And you know what? This is a hellacious cruiserweight division.
These guys are getting out there and getting the crowd all warmed up and excited, especially after moments where it's just been a lot of like, and the show's live, here's all your pyro, and then talking, bit of video, talking, and then it's like, Christ, there's a good, like, what, 15 minutes of the show? Before you see anything?
It's a lot of chattering in this one.
To think that we're looking at that going, what the f-? I don't know, it's only an hour long, but like, well, it's only 45 minutes long, but it's still like now at Raw, it's like, oh, it's just a half hour opening promo.
We're just so desensitized to it now, aren't we? We're so used. I think as well with Raw being
like when
3 hours.
SmackDown would start with a match, I'd be like, have I missed something, Lewis? Yeah.
Why are they doing this?
Where's Roman?
As a report came out, it was like some like notes on SmackDown for tonight. And it was like, Roman will start the show. I'm like, why is this?
Why is this not even, you don't need to. Like, even if Roman doesn't start, it started. You'll be in the cold open.
Yeah. He's either beginning or ending the show every week and nowhere else. So, Mr. JR wins with a victory roll.
Yes. But with the help of Alex Wright.
Yes.
Alex Wright uses his crutch in order to trip Malenko, I believe. Wax him as he hits the ropes. And then this allows Mr. JL, Mr. John Layfield, or Jerry Lynn, or whoever it actually is under the mask, to get the roll up. And
well, Alex Wright did promise a win.
He did.
He did promise a victory.
Yeah, so I promise.
And he won with a victory roll. That was a planned victory. Finish. A great victory roll. As they're heading down the ramp, Eddie Guerrero is jumped by Brian Pillman.
Yes, so we've still got this just spicing up. Pillman's just, you know, just being Pillman.
Stick Pillman in the Cruiserweight Tournament.
Yep.
Nice DDT on the ramp.
Yeah, just nice brutal, quick, smooth.
Nice. I am buzzing for this Cruiserweight division that they are teasing us with.
I'm more excited to see the crowd because like we know where this ends and we know that this will go on to be one of the biggest, like most exciting things to come out of the 90s is the Cruiserweight division and the effect it has on American wrestling. Mm. But like the crowd are about to have the best time. The crowd who are just used to leg drop, you know, said Todd, maybe a cheeky lariat, and now it's going to be just flips and flying and kicks and spinning and strong style elements and oh.
It's going to be a bit good.
Beautiful.
Little note from The Observer. WCW won't allow Chris Benoit or Brian Pillman to wrestle on the Stu Hart show on the 15th of December in Calgary because WWF wrestlers are appearing on the show. You'd think for a show to benefit a guy like Stu Hart, groups would leave the politics out of it, but he was asking too much. Bruce Hart, who is largely putting this together, was also interested in using Lex Luger and Randy Savage. They'll probably be told no as well. Shame, innit?
It's just, it's bollocks, innit? Like, in a situation like that, yes, okay, I understand. You're at war with this company, you don't want to mix in. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to potentially send somebody there for plans to change on the night, and all of a sudden your star gets jobbed out and they're bragging about it on Raw. But in those instances, surely you just go, all right, Stu, we'll do it, but it's going to work like this. We're going to put these two together in a tag versus two of your guys, and then the WWF guys can do whatever they're going to do. As long as they're nowhere near our talent, we're fine.
Keep them separated.
Because if anything, Vince would have been more worried about the WCW talent, surely, because he started to hear rumblings of the sheer finances going around over the fence.
So Vince would be the one. Anywhere near.
But then Vince is somebody who, you know, you hear all the time. Vince is incredibly loyal to people who have helped him along in his career. And Stu Hart has massively helped him in terms of developing talent and supporting WWE's output by sending wrestlers their way. So, you know, Vince, I think, it would have had more to lose in this situation if wrestlers had gone like, what, is he still paying you that? Get over this end. But Vince honored it. And it's just, yeah, it's a shame. As Meltzer said, like, for a guy like Stu, done a lot for the business. Come on.
Yeah. Put that aside.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It stars that bloke, these birds, and this boat. It's rather inexplicably a hit on American TV, and it's also the latest game being developed on the CDI Thunder in Paradise.
Okay, kid, you're going to Thunder's weapon. Show us your stuff.
Thunder in Paradise is produced by the makers of Baywatch. Experts in the dumb bloke, fit bird, beach bikini action drama. Stretching credibility to its limits, Hulk Hogan, opting for the dead squirrel on upper lip look, plays the inventor of Thunder, a 45-foot speedboat with lots of spanky hardware.
We're short on time. We'll go that way, you go this way. Find the major. You got one shot, so make it count. Move!
Playing as Zack, your mission is to rescue kid sister Allison, who's run into a spot of bother with your standard virtual reality robot-morphing supervillain. Doh! Along the way, you've got a lethal enforcer-style shoot-em-out in a warehouse. Believe it or not, this is another shootout on the beach.
We've got long-range company. Get those missiles fired up. Fast!
And wahey, more shooting action on water. Thunder in Paradise, the game, is released early next year.
What are you shooting at, man? The targets! Hit the targets!
Unfortunately, so is the TV show.
You lost! Big time! Good news is, you can always try it again.
That's right. There's always another day in Paradise.
We get another commercial for Halloween Havoc. How does it go, Sam?
First, the man becomes the monster. Then the monster becomes the man as we...
And I can't remember the rest of it. But then all I know is like, at... And he goes, at
Halloween Havoc.
Sam and I are going to be watching all of Halloween Havoc, so you don't have to.
Oh, I'm going to be very drunk.
Should we just get really drunk for that?
I think we should.
Should we do a later one?
There's and no. Then... Yeah, we'll do one after work.
Let's do one after hours. A bit of admin. Let's do one after hours.
Order some dirty takeaway.
Order dirty takeaway. Have a couple of beers. Because my schedule's much lighter next week. I say we do it after hours. Sweet. Dirty takeaway. Couple of beers.
Any night you want.
Oh, get in. Yeah. Oh, exciting.
Well, off on Mondays, but yeah.
Any day after
that. And stream Thursdays, but any other day.
Get TF in. I like that we're so busy at the moment that we do most of our admin during the podcast. And you know what? Not cutting it out, leaving it in.
Yeah, leave it in.
Leave it in. It's all raw, this. Not raw, it's Nitro. Yeah, you silly one. Can even fucking swear on these. It's good.
Yeah,
we
can. Shitty balls.
Can you say bum? Yeah. Imagine it's in stereo. Main event o'clock. And it's Harlem Bloody Heat taking on Lex Luger and Sting. Can they coexist? It's nice to know that the whole storyline of opponents teaming up because of reasons has been alive for a long time.
It's like, even as they're making the reference, it's like Sting, of course, bringing Lex Luger into the company. It's like, well, how the fuck do you expect us to buy that these guys hate each other?
Mm.
Like,
but they're facing each other.
They're facing each other soon. And we've got Harlem Heat, you know, who are a very good tag team, but they're kind of in their own situation right now with, you know, everything going on with their manager.
Sherry.
Sherry, my brain went blank. Yeah, Sherry's sort of in love with Colonel Rob Parker. We've got all this stuff popping off, and you know, it's a lot of can they coexist? Because I feel like this is starting to get to Harlem Heat a bit.
I like bits of commentary that take me properly back to the decade that we're in.
Yeah,
when Eric Bischoff said as the Harlem Heat lads,
in the famous words of Celine Dion,
my heart will go on. that's how she says good morning.
Walks into her room. Hello, Celine.
How you doing, Celine? I can't feel my face. I tell you, this is a good Celine Dion impression. Ariana Grande. She sang I Can't Feel My Face by The Weeknd in the start of Celine Dion.
Okay.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you. It's very good. It was on Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
One of them American ones.
Letterman. There's too many late night hosts these days.
Conan O'Brien.
We should just start our own.
I'd love that. I'd love that. Gee, you've got Corden over there. Right. Whatever you're paying. Hello, America.
What have I done?
Hello, America.
No.
Whatever
you're not allowed to leave. We'll do it in-house.
I'll do a bit and I'll come back. I'll do it once a week.
You'll end up in whatever the next Cats movie is. You'll just replace Corden.
Mate, I don't.
We're not having Corden. We're not doing that switch.
We're swapping.
You got Corden. With that. Not happening.
I don't know how I cope in LA.
I wouldn't be able to. I think I'd fall into a ditch and Scientology would steal me and that'd be it.
I get really fat.
I just eat. It's what happens every time I go to the States. It's like I've got to try and lose as much weight as I can before I go because I just eat everything.
You do a diet that works as an overdraft. So it's like, I want to lose some weight so I can put it back on while I'm there. That's exactly how I lose weight. America, right? All jokes aside, right? Whatever you're paying Corden, I'll do it for a third.
Don't you touch our top.
Do it better.
Don't you take our top. Don't you do it.
Call me.
Don't you fucking call
it. I would Come on, America. If I can do it, can I do it from here?
You can do it from here. It's named after Cultaholic, then we're good
to
go.
The alternative is that the ITV lets me do Love You By Friday on a Friday. Please welcome my guest, Michael McIntyre.
It's 3 o'clock
every fucking week. Please welcome Amanda Holden, for fuck's sake. No, I like her, really. She's a radio legend. She's a radio legend. Heenan observes that Sting and Luger aren't helping each other in the tag team match as much as they should. Oh, no, I didn't finish the line. So the line from comms. You don't have to wait till Halloween Havoc to zoom in onto the information highway.
Oh, my God.
Call Mike today on the hotline. They'll offer news on last night in your house. And Eric Bischoff says, in your house, like he is expelling a turd. In your house? To which Mongo says, more like in your outhouse. obviously being a bit of a shithouse towards the WWF had in your house for just t'other night.
Do they then start plugging, you know, like sponsored by America Online?
Oh, get your AOL CD.
Yeah, get your CD in the post. Not like we're going to send you enough of them anyway. Tiscally, here you go. Here's another
Tiscally!
One.
Tiscally! I haven't thought Tiscally. Of Tiscally remember, in years.
That's it. Like Tiscally. Do you remember On Digital? There's another brand. Oh,
that was ITV Digital.
That became free. It became Freeview.
Is that now Freeview?
On Digital, I think, is now Freeview.
Because it was ITV Digital before, wasn't it?
I think it was ITV Digital, then it became On Digital, or it was On Digital, then ITV Digital, then it became Freeview.
Because ITV Digital used to do like second and third division football coverage.
Yeah.
Until they went, shit, no one's got any money. We can't afford to do this.
Let's just quietly...
We just got to stop.
Yeah.
Like, weirdly, Preston don't have the money for a multi-million pound...
Other, like, brands like that. Tiscally, who else were around?
And now it's time for the podcast where we remember internet providers.
Do you remember Orange? Orange still exists in Europe, but just Orange, the mobile phone company. I thought their branding was perfect.
I'm still technically with Orange because I was an Orange customer when they moved over to EE. We became EE, but I was always an Orange customer.
Yeah.
I had an Orange pay-as-you-go top-up phone. The joy of having to
top up.
Yeah. That was a time. I don't know how he survived.
Put your voucher number in.
Having to go to the news agents to go, quick, I need a voucher because I was texting my girlfriend and I've run out of credit. You don't know you were born.
Yeah, but at least we could charge your phone once a month.
Yeah. I mean, there is that. Like, my phone battery would last about a year.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd never lose my phone because I would notice if it wasn't in my pocket.
Yeah, because it was sticking halfway out your pocket 90%
so it wasn't
of the
working
time.
In a circle. But those are... I never take for granted the fact that now I have a device in my pocket where if there's any song I want to listen to,
yeah.
I can just listen to it wherever. And I do.
Do you think they've ruined society, though?
A little bit. Yeah. My attention span has dwindled.
This is it. Like, I'm at the point where now I'm like, I think I'm going to start locking my phone after a set time. Like, access to apps and just being like, you can use it to phone or text. That's it.
That's why I bought a Game Boy.
Yeah, I'm starting to... I genuinely think that we might be the first generation that just kind of goes, you know what?
And typewriters.
Just jumps off social media completely.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because the thing is, we went through the first wave of social media, remember? And then we were like the unbearable idiots initially.
True.
Then, now we've got the older generation who are just kind of reaching that teenage mentality of the internet. And now we've got, you know, like, that's not real. And, you know, it's going to give you 5G poisoning. And it's just, you know, like, if you compare that to how we behaved, I mean, not that we were spreading dangerous disinformation, but it's sort of like... Our parents' generation are now like teenagers.
Mm.
And in about 5-10 years, they're going to be like, oh God, we were so cringe on the internet. Oh. And it's sort of, I feel like we might actively, because of the way society's going, I think we might all end up just being like, you know what?
Because suddenly,
I'm getting a landline.
Because we've gone through the novelty. And I'll never answer it. Yeah. We've gone through
just leave
the.
It off.
Who's that?
Except if you leave it off and you don't unplug it.
Oh, yeah. I still love that. My mum and dad, I don't think they have a landline anymore. When they had one, like whenever I was home and it would ring, they'd just go, don't answer it.
Yeah.
Like, if it's somebody important, they'll have our numbers.
Yeah, or they'll leave a message or something.
And it's never important. It's always just like...
Phishing scams.
It's like...
Hello, this is Barclays. We need your PIN number and all of your card details, please.
Urgently. Anything,
I think I get your name wrong.
Hello, Mr. Belvin. Hello, Mr. Drovo.
I don't know what it is. I think, in a way, like being that untethered back then, where, you know, I couldn't just tell you, you know, what's the circumference of Saturn? I don't know. Now you can, and it's cool, but it's also led to, like, conspiracy. It's led to so much stuff that I think...
378,675 kilometers.
See, it's like...
I'm not satisfied. But I'd feel like, no better for it.
Like, when you're a kid, if you'd been told you're going to have this phone, you'd be like, oh, my God. Like, it can do all that and it's a camera.
Mm.
And it'd be like, that's amazing. But it was cool when you got it. But now it's just not satisfying anymore because there's no...
There's no joy in finding a song that you love. Yeah. Like, because
there's
like,
no joy in like, yeah, when you hear something on the radio or you see it on Kerrang and you don't know what the song is and you're just trying to hum it in your head all day, you're trying to work out what it is, you're flicking all the channels back.
Going to our price and you go, it goes duh, 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 duh.
There are teenagers watching this going, who the fuck wants to do that? It's like, genuinely, I don't know, like, it's weird. Like, I just feel like I'm not going to become a Luddite, but I think I'll probably ease off. And I think I'll probably ease off Amazon as well. I think I might start trying to shop more locally.
Barter.
It's like, I see like record stores going out of business and the high street's like already done. And it's like, I can, you know, spend that extra fiver. Mm. Like, I'm not hurting anybody by doing that. I'm helping them. But, you know, Amazon aren't really going to feel the pinch, are they? If I choose to shop elsewhere.
They'll always be fine. Yeah. I think it's one of those. And I think it just comes down to what you want to do and how you want to
live.
And I think there is something in coming away.
Yeah.
Like, I just, every day, I feel like I go on Twitter and I go, I feel like I could just quietly delete this.
Yeah, if I didn't need to use it for work, I mean, it's like my Instagram. My Instagram is barely updated, and it's like the more I go without using it, the more I'm like, oh yeah, like I've got that, haven't I? I should probably post something. But if Twitter, I kind of use mainly for work. Mm. So if I didn't have to do that, then I'd be like, yeah, see you later.
I feel more often than not whenever I go on Twitter, like it drags me down more than lifts me up.
I'm very conscious of data rights as well. I think it's bullshit that companies, I don't know why we've went off on this tangent, but
it's good, let's run with
it. It's bullshit that companies can find 5,000, 10,000 data points on you. What band you like, where you've been, who you've been to see live, what films you went to see at the cinema, what things you post about, your age, you know, your relationship statuses. They kind of know about you. And when people answer all these quizzes where it's like, how much do you make a year? Oh my God, you're like, you are this type of person. Like they're learning all this shit about you and then they're selling that data to other people. And now if they want that data, then maybe you should pay us for it. How's about that? Maybe if you pay us for our data, then it could be like, you know what, this year I will do 1,000 posts, Facebook, 1,000 posts, but it's going to cost you this much money. And I think they owe us because they're selling our data and they're ruining the planet.
But how will I know what Disney princess I am if I don't tell them my home incoming?
You choose. You pick the one you feel most like and you go for it.
But it's based on your first day and your favorite food and the last four digits of your car.
And your first address.
And your first line of your address. You know,
like, where have you where did you go to university? Oh my God, you're such a belle.
Weirdly, people say that to me anyway. I get that more often than not.
But yeah, that was an interesting aside.
No, it's a good aside. I think there's, like you say, there's a lot of people that will probably be in a similar boat where they'll just go, I just want to come away. A last note from me on this, and it's true about like collecting data because Alex asked me the other day what I want for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, I want this. And I showed her, I Googled it and showed her. And she went, all right, well, ask Santa. All I've had is adverts for my Christmas present since then.
This is it. I just
get it constantly.
I was telling somebody about Oculus, and Oculus have got a particularly aggressive advertising campaign going on in the build-up to Christmas, and, of course, they're owned by Facebook. So maybe if you're listening to this right now in the car, if you check your adverts on Twitter or Facebook or anything, you might see some Oculus stuff. But you just kind of bring something up and boom, there you go. But then people are like, no, it's sort of like if you are, I want a new car, I want this exact new car, you see that car more, but it's like bullshit. Like if I'm talking in Spanish and my adverts are in Spanish, they're listening to me. If there are people like Mark Zuckerberg covering their webcams, you cover your webcams. If people who work high up in social media are like, I don't let my kids near that shit, what does that tell you about it?
Cover your webcams, kids.
Yeah.
Heenan observes Sting and Luger aren't helping each other.
Yeah, so back to the
wrestling. In our main event. It's an aside, it's Nitro. They're not helping each other as much as they should, saying it's an unsettled atmosphere between the two. Can they coexist?
I don't think they can,
Tom.
They should take some online quizzes. Determine their character type. Get the entire roster to do it. Then they can kind of match up, can't they?
Tell us the three-digit CVV, and we'll tell you which Mr. Man and Little Miss you are.
Congratulations, you've won an iPod Nano.
You're now Mr. Gullible.
Shoot the ducks.
Shoot the ducks. Put your pin in.
It was literally shoot the ducks. Congratulations, you've won. Give us your address and card details.
It was intense, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, grand God. Super bonus finalist. Sherry is ringside pulling Polaroids out of her ass of her and Robert Parker.
Out of her ass.
Literally out of her backside. Oh. She's reaching into her skirt and pulling out Polaroids.
I don't know why,
like Chad Kroger.
The way you worded it, it just like Chad Kroger.
Look at this photograph.
I don't know. The way you worded it made me picture some weird, horrible Euro trash style scene where she's, you know, there's just some like gallery music and she's just like, whoop. Hello.
She's in French, but the voiceover's going, yeah, I like to pull Polaroids out of my ass. The punters really love it. It gets their cocks really excited. Classic Euro trash, that. Am I wrong? Was that not Euro wrong. Trash?
That was Euro trash.
That is Euro trash.
Euro trash. Look at this bloke smash his bollocks with a hammer.
Remember Lolo with the massive breasts? I heard a rumour that she fell off a cliff. That was a rumour I heard. She fell off a cliff.
Okay.
I don't know if she did.
Just a rumour.
There was a thing that happened around school. Friends around school went, oh yeah, she fell off a cliff. It's like, all right. And again, because we weren't in the golden generation of search engines.
You just kind
of
went with it.
We just went, all right.
Yeah.
Fine. Oh. I don't even want to check if she did or didn't.
That's it. Do you remember like the joy of finding Missingno on Pokemon?
Who?
Like the weird the missing number one, the kind of glitchy one.
Oh yes.
And it was like this whole rumor and story built up around it and this whole kind of thing. But yeah, like finding that out as a kid in like the 90s, like late 90s, early 2000s was awesome. But now it'd just be like IGN, here's all you need to do. And you like go through and you click on it. There was like a beauty to somebody going, right, no, this is how you do it. And you there's like four of you sat around with your Game Boys going,
it was exciting when you'd heard rumors of cheats and you spent ages trying to crack
them. Oh, God, there's people like, you've got to go under the truck and you've got to go.
Lara Croft, naked cheat from Tomb Raider. You have to make her dance in a certain way and all her clothes come off. Like, and we all went, all right, I guess. Kids on a Saturday morning trying to...
What are you doing? Fuck off, Dad.
Go away, Dad. Sherry's pulling Polaroids out of her ass of her and Robert Park.
Yes.
Luger takes a shoe in. Sting gets a hot tag. He's stinger splashing everybody. Oh, the Sherry thing. We'll touch on that. I don't know how much we know of it. So Sherry took a bump.
Yes.
And it knocked her head. And it was that awkward sort of concussion that makes you fall in love with Robert Park.
Yeah, she kind of looks like flung her eyes around, like she flung around, and the first person she saw afterwards was Colonel Robert Parker, and that was it.
Standard concussion.
Yeah. That's how it happens.
Stinger splashes everywhere. Stinger gets the deathlock, Scorpion deathlock on Stevie.
But
Booker makes the save.
Booker breaks it up.
Straight in there. Carnage breaks out. Sting hits a huge crossbody, clears the ring to wipe out Booker T. Stevie Ray doesn't quite make it in time to break up the cover. He's away with the fairies.
Stevie,
the tag team lost to the tag team that couldn't coexist. Furious with Stevie Ray. You had one job, brother.
And he'll probably blame Sherry. It'll be passed. The book will be passed all the way down, won't it?
All the way to Sherry.
Because she shouldn't have been messing around with Polaroids. She should have been grabbing ankles.
Yep. Less Polaroids, more ankles. is the guidance on this one.
Yeah.
Post-match, here comes the Giants. He hits the ring. Randy Savage gets in there.
Yeah.
They're outnumbered, but don't worry, because here's Hogan.
Oh, he's in the building, everybody. Here he comes. So Hogan's brawling, having a bit of a fight, and then Hogan goes to Giant. Giant just goes, boop, and Hogan dies.
Admittedly, the crowd, to be fair, are white hot when Hogan and Giant are squaring
up. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So fair play.
Very well. And then Hogan's trying his hardest, and it takes Savage. So Hogan gets beaten down twice, and he's on all fours, and he's crawling, trying to crawl away from the Giant, who's just cackling. And he's crawling and crawling. He makes it to the ropes, and he sees Savage, and Savage is just screaming at him, shaking his arms, and it's like kind of like a remember who you are moment. And Hogan just kind of stops, and he sits bolt upright, and the crowd goes fucking apeshit. It's just like, up he gets, hulking up, and then it all breaks down from there. They're kind of fighting back, and then a camera cuts, and it's like, oh, we're going to have to go. And then we go to the ramp, don't we, Tom?
Because a drum roll starts.
Yes. And everybody's kind of uncertain about what it is. And they're all kind of fighting a bit, and it's like, oh, you've got like a minute left of broadcast time, and...
Block of ice.
bursts a fucking mummy.
It's a yeti.
It's a fucking mummy.
It's a mummy, but out it bursts. And then it's like, oh my God, what's that? And then cuts to black.
We That's get nanoseconds. That's the end of Nitro. Nanoseconds of the
How
mummy.
How the fuck do you send the crowd home? Does the Yeti have to come down and work?
I think the Yeti does a promo Nobody's to thank everyone for coming.
Nobody's turning up to the pay-per-view of the... Like, you know, the Yeti's gonna reappear. But you can't overexpose the Yeti that much. You certainly can't. Did he, I wonder if he just went, ah, and then walked to the back. Could you imagine?
The bye.
Through the curtain.
I live here now. I understand Still curtains.
Shaking.
Really, the Yeti should have gone into the crowd and just started ripping people's heads off.
Yeah, just grab a few chairs
He's
and start.
Been in ice them. For decades.
Yeah.
So the story of the Yeti. You know some of the rumblings of the Yeti.
It's been kind of Dungeon of Doom, Hogan. You know, they're fairly sure they're going to get the job done, but they need an insurance policy. Mm. And they've kind of been teasing this insurance policy. I know it's been building for a little while, though, hasn't it?
Mm, there have been little hints of, like, an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Do we know who the insurance policy was supposed to be at this point?
No.
Oh, now.
Who is it supposed to be?
This is from The Observer. The Yeti will end up being Giant Gonzalez.
I can see that.
But because Gonzalez is having visa problems, he didn't make it into the country on time, so they introduced him without him actually being there.
Oh.
So the plan at this point is, all right, Gonzalez is coming in.
Yes.
We'll get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
How do we get away with it not looking like Gonzalez? We'll wrap him in tissue.
So he's like a Himalayan mummy, and you but think they refer about, to him as a Yeti.
But you think about...
But a Yeti's like an abominable snowman. It's like a snow... I know you said Sam Squanch.
Sam Squanch.
Sam Squanches.
Sam Squanch.
Trailer Park Boys. It's like a snow Sasquatch, right? It's like a big, scare. I mean, you've seen everybody. I don't know if everybody has seen The Mummy 3, but there's Yetis in that.
But Ooh. You think about Giant Gonzalez's attire from like WrestleMania 9.
Yes.
That passes a Yeti.
Oh, for sure. Just spray it white.
Spray it white. Yeah. Jobs are good. And so it makes sense that they were in their head going, we'll bring in Gonzalez in like a sprayed white version, like a recolor of his Gonzalez costume. Yeah. But again, like, oh, he's not there. We desperately need to debut him because we've paid for this block of ice. I guess the solution was to have it so we have somebody else dressed as him.
Yeah.
Burst out, but not there long enough for anyone to notice that it's the you know. So therefore, when in their heads at this point they're going, Gonzalez will be here for the pay per view, so we'll just bring him out there. Nobody will really be any the wiser.
They fucked it though, haven't they? Because if they had an extra week of TV, they could have unwrapped him.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done it because you know they were all about that hokey backstage. It's not even warm. It's not hot. Whatever the fuck it is.
It's not hot.
It's not hot. But you know they're all in on that hokey stuff anyway. So you could have had a whole Undertaker Ministry Midian style situation where it's like unwrapping the Yeti and there he is. But
in their, I think in their head they want the Yeti to come out at Halloween Havoc. And rip off all the.
He looks like he's been swimming. He looks like he's been swimming by like the off run of a sewage processing facility. Like he's just been swimming through all that shitty paper. That's how he looks. It looks like he's coated in shitty toilet paper. He's supposed to look like he's been buried for years, I guess, and frozen in ice. But like, oh my God.
The man in the Yeti costume was Ron Reese. Who was a trainee wrestler?
Yeah,
trained by Big John Studd in 1994.
Okay, where do I recognize his name from though?
He was Reese in Raven's Flock. He would go on to become Reese in Raven's Flock. He would also wrestle as Big Ron Studd in 1996 because he was trained by Big John.
Of course.
But Reese would as Raven's Flock would be his major thing. He's a playable character in WCW NWO Revenge for the N64. He's one of the better. He's one of the stronger characters to be. Fun fact. So because he was again tall boy, kind of stature wise similar, he was the Yeti. But he was only meant to be. In this particular scene, because at this point, WWE are like, Gonzalez, get it sorted. Yeah. He'll be at the pay-per-view Sunday, or we'll be fine. Let's see how that plays out. Happy days, everybody. That was Nitro.
Yeah, that was Nitro.
Halloween Havoc is coming. Did you have a lovely time with Nitro this week? What are your thoughts?
I did. It was an interesting episode. I'm very much looking forward to Halloween Havoc, though. That's going to be a very, very fun watch along.
Mm. We will be giving you a live commentary watch. Well, not live. You'll watch it. It won't be live. We'll be on the podcast after we record it. But you'll be able to watch along with us. So it'll be an alternative commentary track. It'll be Sam and I just making a lot of 90s references. Do you remember MySpace? Etc. Whilst going, this is shit. That's what you get. It's free. Shut up.
You know how it works.
It's free.
We'll talk about Nitro if you let us go on a diatribe about how the world's shit now.
Nailed it. At the moment, WCW is in such a weird place because we are going to see WCW become more rooted in reality.
Yeah.
But at this point, we are coming away from like Hogan wacky era.
Yeah, we're going out on like a dramatic high for like the comic book level craziness.
Mm-hmm.
While reality's just kind of being ushered in slowly underneath. And I think the cruiserweights do a lot to help that. And they kind of start peppering that feel in because it's more a sport-based competition. And then you kind of just refresh it all at the top. And instead of it being big hokey comic book characters, it's kind of like hokey gang member film characters, right? That's what the NWO are.
Basically, yeah. Give it a bit of a liven before we go.
Yeah, kind of just a bit like, yeah.
We will give it the send-off it truly deserves at Halloween Havoc next week on the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review. And until then, he is at Les Defined on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter together. We're at Cultaholic on Twitter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.